Even tax collectors are worth the trouble. Amen? Maybe you're worth the trouble. Amen? Even chief tax collectors are worth the trouble. If you can't imagine what it's like to be a tax collector, just maybe you can feel this. What Zacchaeus felt in his life was the absence of joy. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the word. Open our hearts to it. Let us receive it and glorify you by our words and our deeds and our actions. Let the good people say, amen. How is the sound out there? Is it okay? Okay, very good. In a 9-day swing in the Anglum household, there were 4 sleepovers, 3 birthday parties, 2 Halloween trick-or-treating outings, in addition to the usual nutcracker rehearsals, Taekwon James practices, a few hours of sleep, and on somewhere around day 8, when my blur of a wife was loading up the school bus full of children, I looked at her and I opened her door and I gave her a kiss and I said, "Living the dream, honey, living the dream." And she smiled and off she went. Then, just a few days ago on Friday, in rush hour on Friday on St. Claude by Franklin Avenue, my wife and 3 church leaders were with her, and I got a phone call right as I found out that I would have an hour of peace and quiet because the children were going to stay at school for that hour. I sat down, and 2 minutes later, the phone rang from my wife. They had been rear-ended by someone, and he had gotten out of the car and just taken off running. The woman said, "I was the driver, I was the driver," and the 2 little boys in the back seat. When I got there, I looked at my wife and I gave her a kiss and I said, "Living the dream, honey, living the dream." Yesterday I was trying to find the nutcracker that my daughter is going to be in, and the rehearsal is out in the foreign land of Kenner. And I was on Veterans I don't know how many times up and down trying to find this little place about 6 feet by 6 feet. And I got to this U-turn, and I took the U-turn, and as I got to the next light, there was a little honk, and it was a man in a white truck next to me. And I rolled my window down, and he said, "You know, there was a no U-turn sign back there. In fact, there were 2 no U-turn signs back there, but you turned anyway." And I saw the camera, and it clicked. "You're going to get a ticket." And you know what I said to him? "Living the dream, buddy, living the dream. Living the dream." If anyone is living the dream, the chief tax collector must be living the dream, amen? Zacchaeus is not just a tax collector, he's the chief tax collector. And Luke bothers to tell us that he's rich. Now, he's not Oprah rich. This is Jericho, okay? He's like Kardashian rich, but nonetheless, I mean, he's rich. He's got it, you know, he's got it going on. Zacchaeus was Jewish, and the Romans ruled what was once the land of Israel. And they had tax collectors, Jewish tax collectors, and basically it was a license to steal. It was like a license to set up a string of those payday loan centers. You know, you can get the loan, but you can never seem to pay the thing back, amen? Well, that's what it was like. And Zacchaeus did pretty well being a tax collector. He was, even though short in stature, you might say he was the chief thug in town. Well, when someone is the chief, like Zacchaeus, and they climb a tree in public, something ain't right. Chiefs, you know, chiefs got people. People who arrange these meetings. They don't go climbing trees. They've got bodyguards who clear a path for them. They have balconies and viewing platforms. They don't climb a tree. Something must be going on with Zacchaeus. Maybe it's a midlife crisis, or for you young folks, as John Mayer, who's not so young anymore, as John Mayer would say, a quarter-life crisis. You know, it's one of those crises where you've just been living the dream, doing everything you were supposed to do, just working hard. You had some talent, whatever it was, you developed it. You got 2.5 kids. You got the house on the corner. You don't know your neighbors, but they don't know you. Your wife is a blur, and you haven't seen her for 5 days, but you're living the dream. And then one day it hits you. There is no joy in my life. Even with this crummy job that I have as chief tax collector, all this money, anything I want in town, I have no joy. Nobody likes me. I don't even like me. Amen? On those days, even chiefs will climb trees or show up in the pastor's office. And you know what they're looking for when they show up in the pastor's office? They're looking for something we all need, including the pastor, a confessor. Confessors are people who sit and listen and do not judge when there is so much to judge. They just listen. They may not say much, but their job is to be still and let God be present. And confessors believe that when you are brave enough to confess your truth to another human being, that will set you on the path of freedom. There is a whole lot that happens between the lines in our story. But one thing for sure, Zacchaeus knows that Jesus knows his truth. Zacchaeus is up in a tree. This is Jesus' one day in Jericho. And he looks up and says, Zacchaeus, I want to spend the night with you. And everybody around knows what that means. He is going to spend the night with the biggest thug, the one who has foreclosed on my house, the one whose loan I can never pay off, the one who twists my arm year after year for 2 more pennies. That's who Jesus is going to spend the day with. And for Zacchaeus, he doesn't feel judgment. He feels fidelity. Have you ever felt fidelity when you didn't deserve it? It is powerful. We find out about something also about Jesus. We find out that Jesus will actually leave the 99 sheep and go looking for the one who deserves the least to be looked for. And he will risk knowing that the 99 don't understand what he's doing. This is not how you get elected. It is how you create the kingdom. That's what we find out about Jesus. The Messiah has come to my town. He's going to spend his one day wining and dining with the chief tax collector. Whatever happened to healing the sick and breaking the chains of the oppressed? The crowd must certainly be feeling that, as we would be as well. This Messiah can be hard to believe in unless you realize how close our lives are to Zacchaeus's. We may not be chief tax collectors, and we may not have that job, but we may have a lot of other rotten things going on. In my house, we put up a basketball court. I put up a basketball court. I'm very proud of myself. They said it would take 3 hours. 3 days later, it was up. It was like the resurrection. I was so proud of myself. Cannot get my children interested in that basketball hoop. But Herbert's interested, and he lives in our neighborhood. And for 3 years, he brings his friends to our basketball court, and I love to beat him. He's about this tall, and he's about 12 years old. And it's fun while it lasts. I broke my arm, so it's not going so well anymore. But Herbert shows up, and then I won't see him for 6 months. And then he comes back. Well, last summer, he was visiting with me and Ann, and this is what he told us. He said, you know, my dad wants me to come live with him on the West Bank. I said, oh, do you want to do that? He says, I don't know, my dad's a thug, and he told me he wants to teach me how to be a thug. And I said, Herbert, whose word is that? He said, that's my dad's word. This is his life, back and forth in the land of Jericho. That is often the joyless world that Jesus confronts time and time again. When Zacchaeus gets saved, we need to notice his first act. When he actually feels that somebody knows my truth, they know that I know I have a crummy life, the first thing he does is shout for joy. The next thing he does is share. Half of my wealth, half of my wealth, take it now. Then he makes an outrageous promise, kind of like, alcoholics might do the first time they give up the bottle. He says, four times anyone that I've taken money from, I will give them four times what I have taken. My sources say, that's impossible. You would be like the person who has the payday loan. You could never pay this off. But that's okay. Zacchaeus is on the right track. Amen. He wants to be living the dream with the community. It's no longer just about me. It's about this broken place I live in called Jericho. It's about the people there. It's about our life together. Not just the guy who puts up those cheap traffic tickets so we don't have to have any human interaction, amen? So I could just write you a ticket. We don't even have to talk. Just send me your money. And if you don't send me the money, I got a little boot I'm going to put on your car too. That is the world that we live in. It is vicious. There are thugs everywhere. Everywhere. And in some way, we participate in it. And in some way, we can fight it. We can fight it joyfully. When you include someone else in your dream. If you're living the dream out there with not much joy in your heart, it's not enough to know that Jesus loves you and there's nothing you can do about it. That is a very good start. It's a very good start. It's what Zacchaeus feels. But then you got to do the next thing that Zacchaeus does. You have to commit yourself to the lost, to anyone, to one person. You have to commit yourself in a way that is worthy of the life that you have been given. A friend of mine called me, I called a friend of mine a few weeks ago, and he's the one friend I keep up with from college days. He's the person who taught me how to be a friend. And when he got out of college, he got a job kind of like Zacchaeus's. He was a repo man. Can you imagine? He like went around, sneaking around trying to get people's car and not get shot. That was his job. Well, he went from being repo man to being the president of the bank. He's been the president of the bank for 13 years. I spoke to him on a Friday. I said, how's it going? He said, well, last Friday I had a job. Now I'm unemployed. Somehow, even though the bank quadrupled, it was time to move on. He said, we talked, of course, quite a bit, and then he said this to me. It's really hard to get out of bed Monday morning. Will my wife go to church with me? Thank God, this is how God works. We were assigned to a church in New York City, an in-the-gutter church, as they described themselves. And every Sunday morning, they served a meal. And that's what we started doing together. And I will tell you, the way I saw my wife changed forever. She was incredible. The homeless people would walk in. They'd say, hello, Sean, is Ann here? Walk right by. The way she treated them with such dignity and just everyday human respectability. That's when we started going to church. I can't explain it. I just know that when you do it, you will feel a deep fidelity with the dream you are living, with other people's dreams. You will include them in your dream, and you will know a joy that is not of this world, that comes into this world. So, Pastor, my life looks a lot like your life. I don't have another thing, another hour to put on my schedule. I know. And if you got 2.5 kids, it is not going to slow down until they're grown. Amen? It just ain't. It's not going to slow down. God knows that too. God's not trying to make you feel guilty about that. However, when you leave today, pick up the phone. Call someone who has been committed to you throughout your life, and you thank them, and you will feel differently. When you get home, think about your wife's joy, not just your joy. Think about your children's joy, not just your joy. Think about how you're going to make human beings be human again and not responding to technology again. Make it part of your life. When I got down to that car accident that the four women from the church were in, it was like a three-ring circus. It was like a three-ring circus. But when I got there, I walked up to my wife, I gave her a kiss, and I said, "Living the dream, honey, living the dream." And I'm looking at the back bumper, and it's, you know, it's one of these rubber bumpers, and it's sticking this way. But I'm thinking, I don't think this is as bad as it should be. But the police are coming. The woman is like this. I don't have a license. I don't have my insurance, but I promise I do have it. I'm not one of those kind of people. What kind of people is that? I don't know. She's doing this. The police officer's coming. Driver's license. She's going like this. Her husband shows up. He's a little calmer and trying to call the insurance company. And you know what? It just didn't look that bad. So I said, "Will, let's just shake hands on it. You give me your phone number, and I'll give you my phone number. I know some guy who can stick this thing back on. This car is still running. It's going to be fine. Can we just shake hands?" He said, "No, we can't. Can we hug?" So we hugged. I went home, got under the car, and kicked the bumper out, put some duct tape on it, and I'm going to call the guy on Monday. Living the dream. Living the dream. We all are called to live a dream. The God that we are here worshiping today is worthy to be worshiped because that is the God of fidelity. Amen? No matter how far off you are figuring out how you got where you are today, that God is with you. And that God is trying to connect all of us into the same dream that Jesus called the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Live the dream, First Grace. I love you, and there is something you can do about it. Amen?